You're listening to the First in Football podcast, celebrating 150 years of Princeton Tigers football.
Week 3 edition of the First in Football podcast as the Princeton Tigers 2-0 get set for their Ivy League opener this Saturday, 1 o'clock at home against the Columbia Lions. Cody Cruchel, Jerry Price with you. Jerry, let's go back to Saturday at Bucknell, 56-23, the Princeton victory, and a couple of longtime records falling.
Yeah, Kevin Davidson and Andrew Griffin, and Kevin Davidson throwing for 7 touchdown passes, an Ivy League record, not just a Princeton record. Andrew Griffin ties the Princeton and Ivy League record by 4 touchdown receptions in a game. Ties Michael Lurch here at Princeton. Lurch had it in that game at Brown in 1991. We had 370 receiving yards in that game. Griffin only 200 receiving yards against Bucknell. Makes him the 6th player in program history to reach 200 receiving yards in a game. It took him 2 weeks to match Stephen Carlson's touchdown reception total from last year. Stephen Carlson, 3rd all-time Princeton TD receptions. It was just a great showing by Griffin, great showing by Davidson, and a real step forward for Princeton. Now they have a big game on Saturday.
Princeton taking on Columbia. The Lions 1-1 on the season, coming off a 24-10 loss at home against a Georgetown team that's now all of a sudden one of the favorites in the Patriot League. The Hoyas 3-1. Columbia, sort of a strange game. They rush for 30 yards on 35 carries. And you'll talk about it a little bit with Bob. This is a Columbia team where last year, decimated by injuries, I think they had 11 or 12 starters go down for the season with an injury. And this is a Columbia program now in their 5th season under Al Bagnoli. It's been a steady build. And coming into this season, they're coming off back-to-back winning seasons for the first time in over 5 decades. So this is a program that's hungry.
Yeah, so Columbia, I mean, you know, for years, Columbia struggled to win a game. You know, for decades, that was the case for Columbia football. And I give them credit because they made the commitment that they felt they needed to do. They hired Al Bagnoli, obviously had all that success at Union and then long-time success at Penn. You know, maybe the best Ivy League coach ever until Bob Cerace came along. You know, they've given him what he needs to be successful. He's been re-energized after he retired for a little while from Penn. You know, so people think Columbia and they think it's Columbia, but it's not what you thought of when you think of Columbia. And last year, for all of the injuries they had, they still were 6-4 for the year. And so, you know, they had a winning record. And I think it's a team that benefits this year from all that last year because it's the same thing Princeton had last year. From all the injuries in 2017, you end up with guys with a lot of experienced guys, which gives you a lot of depth, and that really pays off the year after, and that's where they are now.
The Alchemist and Barrister is proud to present the First in Football podcast each week throughout the Princeton football season. Check out the newest menu edition at the A&B, breakfast on Saturdays and Sunday from 9 to 12:30, better known as Feed the Day, highlighting their specialty omelets, eggs your way, and French toast. Visit the Alchemist and Barrister in the heart of Princeton and online at theaandb.com. The Alchemist and Barrister, well known as the Cheers of Princeton, is proud to present the First in Football podcast and support the Princeton Tigers. Big show coming up today. We'll talk to Marvin Clesidor, the new co-defensive coordinator, 3rd season as the Tigers' defensive backs coach, and then we'll catch up with Andrew Griffin, senior wideout from Avon, Indiana, 4 touchdown catches, tying a 28-year-old Princeton football record. But first, here's Jerry's conversation with Princeton head coach Bob Cerace.
Back here at the First in Football podcast, Jerry Price joined by Princeton head coach Bob Cerace. Coach, welcome.
Thanks, Jerry.
So 2-0 after the wins over Butler and Bucknell, heading into the Ivy League opener Saturday at 1 o'clock against Columbia. 1 o'clock kickoff on Powers Field, so a home game. Weather should be perfect. Where do you think you are after 2 games?
Yeah, no, I like, you know, the fact that we have been able to play so many guys in the first 2 games. We got some guys that have inexperience, some young guys, essential for their development. You know, to see the veteran guys who haven't maybe been starters in the past but play different roles, to see them step up and play as well as they have, lead as well as they have, that's been a great sign.
So for the first game against Butler, more than 80 guys got in the game. You took 62 to Bucknell. They all played there. That's great. It gets people experience. There's no substitute for actually getting on the field and playing in a game. The one downside, if you would consider it a downside, is that your ones haven't been asked to play a full game 60 minutes so far, haven't really had to play in the fourth quarter yet. One of the things that you don't know is, one, how they're going to respond to have to play 60 full minutes, and two, how are they going to do when they find themselves in a close spot in the fourth quarter? You assume those days are coming, probably coming this Saturday. What does that mean as you go through your preparations, if anything?
Yeah, no, it's essential, and we practice and expect and prepare to play a full game, and you know, you're right. This week, you know, we're going to have to play our best, and you know, this is a top five defense in the country. Offensively, it's as talented at the skill spots, a huge offensive line, veteran quarterbacks. You know, we are going to have to rise up, you know, this week in practice, our preparation, and play well to be successful. But, you know, that's the beauty of competition. You got to do it. Like, we can talk about it. We can, you know, practice it. But at the end of the day, you got to be in that situation, and that's what you live for as a competitor, as a coach, as a player, you know, people around, is those moments. And 2 years ago, you know, it was one of the great games I've ever been a part of, but coaching wise, you know, some execution, we didn't, you know, win that game at the end, and it was a tough loss. You know, 2 years before that, on our home field, we did make the plays in the fourth quarter. You know, that's the beauty of sports. That's why our guys work so hard, why they sacrifice so much, is for playing a team that's as good as this team we're going to play, and to see how it comes out and how we execute in the end.
So Columbia in 2019, similar to Princeton in 2018, in that it's the year after they got decimated by injuries. That does a few things. One is it forces you to play a bunch of guys a year before you wanted to, so now they have all that experience. And two, you have all your guys back, so you have a lot more depth right off the bat. And one thing about Columbia that I really have found interesting over the last couple of years is when you've had the lack of success that Columbia football has traditionally had, and now you start to build in the right direction and you become a winning team, you really wear that as a badge of honor that you're the guys who are building the winning culture there. And I think that makes them even more dangerous because they really believe in themselves.
Yeah, the administrative support they have, unbelievably high. Al Bagnoli, going to go into the College Football Hall of Fame as a coach. You know, their talent level. You know, you're talking about, you know, Smith and Wainwright and, you know, the running backs. Ryan Young is just explosive. You go to their defense, and DiLorenzi, he's as good a pass rusher as we've seen. You know, this guy, he's about to break their all-time record for career sacks. Marcellus Wiley played at Columbia. You know, he played 10 years in the NFL. You're talking about outstanding football players. You're talking about guys who are committed. Al's got the structure of this program, you know, at the highest level. So, as I said, the competition, this is awesome. You know, our week of practice, we know. Like, if you are a fan and you just, oh, it's Columbia, you're in for a pleasant surprise when you come to the game, because this is going to be two teams that are going to be playing their best. They're going to be so excited when they run out of the respective tunnels because of the competition and the respect that we have for each other.
And the Ivy League opener, you mentioned Marcellus Wiley. You know, he played both ways at Columbia, right?
He was a running back. Which...
It was quite a sight. I don't know if you ever saw him play at Columbia, but it was quite a sight to see him play running back. So your team, heading into its Ivy opener, has had two outstanding performances on both sides of the ball and special teams. But let's start with the two record setters from last week. Kevin Davidson, who set the Ivy League record with 7 touchdown passes in that game, is completing 81% of his passes. And if you think in the entire history of the Ivy League, of every quarterback has ever played in the Ivy League, Kevin Davidson now has the record for most touchdown passes in a game. I thought the best thing he did was the play where he could have run for the first down. He went across the line of scrimmage, clearly was across the line of scrimmage, decided to throw it anyway. You know, sort of made a poor decision. It was really the first, and it was 7-0 Bucknell. Things weren't going easily. It was really the first time he was faced with adversity. And then he responded, touchdown pass to Yossi Vash on the next time he had the ball, the next play he had the ball. And then 13 for 15 after that, 3 more touchdown passes, 200 yards in the first half, and you were on your way. And I mean, I thought that really showed you something.
Yeah, just, you know, we practice, especially in camp or spring ball, our practices are harder than we want to simulate a game. And we get after it at practice, and our coaches, and there's passion and there's energy. And so when you're put in adverse situations, you got a chance to be successful. And Kevin's done everything right. He's worked his tail off. He is a leader. He, you know, there's a lot of confidence from my end, from the coach's end, from the player's end, that he's not only, you know, just a terrific thrower, he's a leader, and he's going to have a tremendous, you know, practice on Wednesday. He's going to have a tremendous practice on Thursday, and that builds the respect in the program.
So the other record setter was Andrew Griffin. Now, Stephen Carlson is third all-time in touchdown receptions at Princeton. It took Andrew Griffin two games to match Carlson's total for last season, five touchdown receptions. He had four against Bucknell. That ties the Ivy League record. He's the sixth player to get in Ivy history, second Princeton player after Michael Lurch, to get four receiving touchdowns in a game. Also, the sixth player in program history to reach 200 receiving yards in a game. He's been extraordinary. I mean, it's not just – he's not just – you know, it's not just Davidson throwing the ball out there and let him go get it. Davidson's doing that part of it. But what he's doing, he's got a lot of yards after he catches the ball, and he just really has a nose for the ball and the end zone.
Yeah, I didn't know that till you just said it. And, you know, Carlson's with the Cleveland Browns right now. That's pretty impressive. And Griff just he's that blue collar, goes out, just gives you great work every day, whether he's the fourth string guy as a freshman playing JV, whether he's the second string guy last year in a role, whether he's now the starter. And he has worked so hard. He sacrificed so much. He is as good a student, you know, as we got. And, you know, at the end of the day, you root for guys like that.
I thought, you know, Davidson sets a record. Griffin sets a record. And I thought it'd be interesting to talk to offensive linemen about that because, you know, their names never go into the record books. You only notice the offensive linemen either when the quarterback's getting sacked or when there's a penalty or something like that. So I talked to center Alex Dieters and right tackle Brent Holder just about what their take on it is. And it's what you would think it would be. They're very team-oriented, five guys seeing the field through one set of eyes, just happy for their teammates. And as a former offensive lineman yourself, it's a real check-your-ego-at-the-door place to play.
Yeah, no, we went, Coach Verbit and I, one of my ex-teammates was captain of a Navy ship. And the people cooking the food felt just as essential as the people that were building bombs and the people that were, you know, flying the planes. And at the end of the day, everybody's got a role. And those guys' role may be to protect the quarterback and give him time. Andrew's role was to run the route properly and get open. Sometimes the coverage dictates it goes somewhere else. Kevin's role is to read the coverage and throw the ball accurately. And a good offense executes with the 11 guys on the field doing that.
I thought it was great what you said about the center position and about Holder's name.
Well, I was a center, so I guess I had an inflated ego of myself of being so important. But I said that jokingly.
I know.
At the end of the day, that you do have to have a center. The play can't start without that guy. And I remember the Cincinnati Bengals, their first draft, selected a center. And Paul Brown, Hall of Fame, maybe the greatest coach along with Belichick of all time in the NFL, said, you know, this guy's going to be the first guy to touch the football. You know, he's essential.
Right. That's and what you basically said. We've run plays without quarterbacks, running backs, tight ends, wide receivers, never run one without a center. And then the other thing he said was Holder is a bad name for an offensive lineman.
Yeah, as I'm knocking on wood, I hope he doesn't live up to his name.
So good luck Saturday against Columbia, 1 o'clock kickoff against the Lions here at home on Powers Field. We haven't gotten to talk about Daniel Jones yet. We'll get to him as the season wears on a bit, I'm sure. And thanks for being with us again on the First in Football podcast.
Yeah, I'm just happy you get to enjoy the Giants again.
Bunch formation, twin tight ends. Bobo to the left, Adamitis to the right. Misdirection. Davidson keeps it looking. End zone. Sliding. Catch by Griffin. Did he get his foot in? Touchdown, Princeton. Give him another one. Four touchdowns for Andrew Griffin.
That ties the school record. Davidson breaks the school record with seven. And I think that gives him exactly 200 yards.
Back with Andrew Griffin, senior wide receiver from Avon, Indiana. Four touchdown catches Saturday in a Princeton win at Bucknell, tying Michael Lurch's 28-year-old school record. Andrew finishing with nine catches, 200 yards. Andrew, first off, welcome. Take me through the bus ride back to campus Saturday. When did it hit you what you had done?
I got off the got out of the stadium, and I had a bunch of texts on my phones from old players and coaches and people from back home, and everyone was super supportive. It was good to hear from a lot of those guys because, like as I mentioned in some of my interviews after the game, they were super influential for my time here. So it was great to hear from them.
What were your expectations coming into the season? I can't even imagine. I'm going to start over, too.
Sorry about that.
What were your expectations coming into the season? I can't imagine that even in your loftiest goals and expectations, you know, you had envisioned the start that you've gotten off to.
Yeah, you know, we knew that we'd have to come in and kind of fill the receivers from the past few years' shoes, but I didn't have any specific expectations for myself. I really just kind of wanted to do everything I could for the team. And just like I said in the interview, being in the right place at the right time, it kind of all worked out on Saturday.
Being behind guys like Jesper Horsted and Steven Carlson and two guys who were on NFL practice squads now, what were you able to learn from the two of them?
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know if the things I learned from them were specific to technique in football. I mean, it wasn't like releases or routes. A lot of that is coached by the coaches. But, I mean, the way that Steve prepared and the way that Steve was able to kind of embrace whatever role he had on the team, whether that was running routes or sitting in the wing, tight end position blocking, I think that's kind of the biggest thing I got from Steve. And then Jesper's the ultimate competitor. I mean, he can go up and get balls. He can go do whatever you tell him to do. So I think the kind of the intangible stuff that I was able to just watch those two do on the field really helped me a lot.
Last year, your first career catch comes in the season opener in your home state of Indiana, the season opener at Butler. Pretty healthy contingent of folks wearing what looked like homemade Andrew Griffin jerseys. That had to be a neat experience.
It was really cool. It was really cool. I think that was one of the coolest experiences I've had in sports. I really love my time back home in Indianapolis. And as you said, there's a lot of my family and friends there that hadn't gotten to see me play since I've been out here on the East Coast. So to be able to have my first catch back home in front of them was really special.
How do you stay ready for the opportunity you've had? Three seasons, part of the practice squad, part of the scout team, getting some reps early when the game's out of hand. But how do you make sure you're ready, and how have you put yourself in the position to excel as you have this season?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think it's all kind of part of the system. I mean, we work for multiple years on the scout team and in practice so that we can get these opportunities. And I think that our program is built to be junior and senior heavy and to allow guys like me to come in and perform. And so it's about knowing the playbook, to be comfortable with that, and just know our assignments on game day.
New wide receivers coach this year, Brian Flynn, who spent the last 12 seasons at Villanova. He won a national championship there in 2009. What's he been like?
He's been great. If you spend any time with him, you know that the guy loves football. He knows a ton about football. There's been a bit of a transition period in the past few years. I've had three coaches in the past 2 years, but he's been really good with the X's and O's, and he's also huge on making sure that our wideout room knows the expectations on the field and off the field, that we're good students, good men, and I think overall he's been a great influence here.
Let's talk about the classroom. You were a computer science major, and I know you had a pretty interesting internship this summer.
Yeah, I was able to work for a startup healthcare technology company this summer, which I really enjoyed. I'm not sure exactly what I'm going to do the next year, but that was a great experience for me and something I'm definitely interested in.
Four touchdowns Saturday. Was one your favorite? Was there one that stood out? I know they were all kind of a little bit different.
Yeah. I think maybe my first one, because it was kind of a broken play, but Kevin and I have obviously been throwing a lot over the past year. We haven't gotten any real game time until this year. So for kind of the comfortability of him and I, him to be able to just throw me a ball that I wasn't really expecting and to be able to make a play, I think that was probably my favorite.
Was that the one where you had to come back behind the defender for it?
Yeah, correct.
That's something that I never really thought of where, you know, you look at, okay, Kevin, first year as a starter. You're in your first season as your starter, but for the last 3+ years, you guys have been getting those reps in practice.
Yeah. We have spent a lot of time throwing balls. I mean, Kevin throws more balls than anyone, I think. He's always wanting to get out after lifts, after workouts, and run routes. So, I mean, not only last spring and winter, but this summer, being able to come on campus and throw with him, you can kind of see that paying off.
Columbia this Saturday. Does it feel any different this week preparing now that it's an Ivy League game?
Preparing, I don't think so. I mean, we do the same things every week. We look at the defense. We game plan for specific looks. I think there may be a difference in how we feel just knowing that Ivy League games and winning Ivy League games are our ultimate goal, winning the Ivy League championship. So, preparation-wise, we're doing the same thing, sticking our heads down and going to work this week, but I don't think we're going to make it anything bigger than just another game going 1-0.
Andrew, it's been a lot of fun watching you this year. Best of luck going forward, and thanks for stopping down.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Joined on the First in Football podcast now by Marvin Klesidor, third season as Princeton's defensive backs coach, and also this season now the co-defensive coordinator. The Tigers off to a 2-0 start. Marvin, thanks for joining us. I know it's a busy day and a busy week, game week for Columbia.
Hey, thanks for having me. You know, anytime I get a chance to get out and talk to you, Cody, it's always a good day.
Coming off a win over Bucknell, but I want to go back 1 week further to that opening victory at home against Butler. DeLon Stallworth, one of your starting cornerbacks, 8 tackles to lead the team. Also his first career interception. Long time coming for him.
Big interception for DeLon. You know, DeLon, obviously as a true freshman, came in here, played early for us now, his junior year. You know, we've been working for a long time to get him to catch the football. And you know what? His hard work paid off, and he made it happen in a big way versus Butler. So kudos to DeLon for putting in the work and getting the results that he truly deserves.
When you took over 2 years ago, young unit, a lot of injuries. Pass defense, statistically, not a strong suit for this team. 2017, the worst pass defense in the Ivy League. Last year, you guys jumped to third in the Ivy League, and that was with teams getting out to some big leads and being forced to go to the air a lot late in games. This year, through 2 games, averaging less than 220 yards allowed through the air per contest. I imagine that's not a process that happens overnight. Walk me through how that growth process unfolded.
No. A jump like that simply happens with time. And what I mean by that is, you know, when freshmen are playing, right, you got some young guys playing that are new to a system. Along with that, you know, you have some veteran guys a couple years ago that had a new coach implemented in with myself coming into the mix. So you need time to gel. You need time for guys to learn new techniques, learn the new process, or learn new coverage schemes and things like that. So, you know, those changes that took place over the course of a year that saw us jump from a number 8 in the Ivy League pass defense to number 3 was really just a compliment to the guys putting in work over time and finally meshing and understanding, you know, the things I was asking for of them as a coach and pretty much just going out on the field and executing.
We talked about DeLon. I want to talk about a couple other guys. Trevor Forbes, he moves from nickel to starting strong safety this year after the graduation of Ben Ellis. How's Trevor grown from his freshman year until now?
Trevor's grown immensely from freshman year. So the nickel position for Trevor his freshman year was a position where he can go in and show his athleticism and just kind of play without thinking, so to speak. You know, the game is closer you move to the line of scrimmage, you know, it slows down for you and you can go play fast and be aggressive, which Trevor Forbes is good at doing. Over time, you know, he got more experience by playing, you know, his sophomore year. And then now as a safety, which requires a little bit more presence on the back end, you know, you have to make calls to adjust the defense. You have to line guys up and make sure, you know, everybody's on the same page, a little bit of a quarterback on the defense, so to speak. And Trevor has grasped that role. He's taken it and ran with it. And I've seen growth in terms of his maturity on our defense. And he's a confident guy that we feel really comfortable with on the back end playing safety.
Your corner opposite DeLon Stallworth, sophomore Christian Brown. We know about the athleticism, a track and field champion in high school in Florida. Looks a lot more comfortable here and now his second season as a starter.
Yeah, absolutely. And with Christian, you know, speed kills. He's a track guy. And he's a pretty fast guy in terms of being able to cover receivers on deep routes and cover ground that way. So he that speed showed as a freshman, which allowed him to get out there and play right away. And opposite of DeLon, you know, with DeLon being a guy that's able to make some plays, you know, sometimes we get some passes away from him. So you got to have a guy that's able to cover out opposite of DeLon.
Two freshman defensive backs we've seen quite a bit of this year with some of the lopsided scores. Davion Carrington, Jaden Wickware. What do each of them bring to the table?
Well, both Davion and Jaden Wickware bring a ton of energy to the table. Both kids are similar to what Trevor Forbes was as a freshman. They're really good athletes that play an aggressive style of football. And, you know, as a coach, my job is to get them out there and let them play fast and show off some of that athletic ability. So both of those guys bring a sense of intensity and energy to the table, which, you know, is really great for our defense, right? And they both are pretty funny kids. They bring a lot of life and attitude to our defense as well.
Looking at the quarterback position, your other side of the football, Chad Kanoff to John Lovett, now Kevin Davidson, going up against maybe the best quarterback in the Ivy League in practice every day the last 3 years, that's got to help you, right?
Let me tell you something. Those quarterbacks that you just named are probably three, as good as it gets at our level playing football, or at any level for that matter. So, you know, Chad Kanoff, you know, obviously Johnny Football, as I call him, Johnny Lovett, both had an opportunity to play in the NFL. So Kevin Davidson stepped right in. And when you get a chance to compete against those guys every day, as a coach, grow some gray hairs. But they help make your defense better because they challenge you, which we truly enjoy.
You don't look too gray.
No, I dyed my hair. No, just kidding.
Let's kind of talk about you a little bit. You added the title of co-defensive coordinator this year alongside Steve Verbit, who's in his 35th season. How do you divide up responsibilities, and what have you been able to learn from Coach Verbit, who's been here three decades?
Well, you know, I'll say this to start. You know, Coach Verbit and I, along with the rest of our defensive staff, we mesh pretty well in terms of how we operate during the season with developing a game plan and preparing our guys for competition. So, you know, the elevation and title to co-defensive coordinator didn't necessarily mean that much change in terms of what we were doing operation-wise on defense. You know, I've learned a lot from Steve Verbit in terms of how we prepare for games, how we prepare for opponents in terms of their base offense with stopping the run, bringing new pressures to, you know, disrupt the quarterbacks and things like that. And then from my standpoint, I just try to do a great job of making sure our guys are in great position and coverage on the back end to make sure we don't give up touchdowns. So we bounce ideas off of each other, along with Mike Mendenhall, you know, Mike Wyke, a new addition to our staff this season. All right, and again, we do the best we can to make sure our guys are in great enough position to be successful on the field.
Tell me about the turnover bell.
Oh, man.
Offensive guys hate it. Music to your ears.
Listen, literally music to my ears. So the turnover bell is as simply this. All right. It's a sense of pride to a defensive unit. When you get an opportunity to get your hand on the football, we get it. Offensive guys have the ball a lot. So turnovers are very hard to come by. So when they come by, you want to let the opposing team hear it. And that's what we have with the turnover bell. And it started as a fun thing for our defense to get those guys juiced up, give them some energy, because we're all about juice. If you don't have energy, you don't run to the football, you don't have that life in you as a defensive unit, very hard to win a football game. So when you create turnovers, enjoy the moment, ring the bell, celebrate with your teammates, and have fun with it.
Columbia this weekend, Josh Wainwright, Ronald Smith, two guys that have given Princeton a little bit of trouble in the past. Wainwright a couple of years ago, an 88-yard touchdown to cap the scoring. That was before you were here in 2016. 2 years ago, Smith, 236 yards, a couple of touchdowns. What kind of challenge do those two guys pose for your guys?
I tell you, both Wainwright and Smith are as good of receivers as you're going to see in Ivy League. They're both dynamic playmakers, and they challenge us a ton. So when preparing for those guys, we got our hands full. I mean, this is going to be – this Columbia offense is very dynamic with their skill position guys. And, you know, we're going to try to do the best we can to limit those guys. You know, Wainwright and Ronald Smith, it's hard to say you can truly shut those guys down because they're very, very good players who – eventually, at some point in the game, they find a way to make a play. So it's going to be a huge challenge for us to stop those two guys.
Marvin Klessiter, Tigers secondary defensive backs coach and Tigers co-defensive coordinator. Good luck to you and your guys this Saturday against Columbia.
Absolutely, Cody. And I appreciate you spending time here, and go Tigers.
Princeton and Columbia, Saturday, 1 o'clock at Princeton Stadium. Thanks again to our presenting sponsor, The Alchemist and Barrister. This has been the Week 3 edition of the First in Football podcast.